In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Probably all of us have had moments in life when we've questioned our existence. You know, the first reading from the book of Job, and by the way, I understand from Father Brian that the last figure on our stained glass windows is Job. I didn't realize that till now, so I didn't realize all these. I know the creation story, but all of these people here, pretty much you know their names, but Job is the last guy. So in the reading from Job, Job says, "Is not life's man on earth a drudgery? So I have been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been allotted to me." Those are the words of Job. Job had been deprived of the pleasures of life and even lost his children and felt discouraged and distressed. These distressing words of Job express a feeling that we may have all experienced at one time or other, and maybe more than once in our lives. These words express the condition of man when he sees life as without hope, without meaning, when he sees life as empty and meaningless. I remember when I was a teenager growing up, there was a period I went through in which I was questioning everything, searching for meaning. I was looking everywhere. I would listen to sermons on the radio, read the Bible, seeking Jesus. Eventually, this search led me to more deeply embrace my Catholic faith. I'm reminded, too, of St. Augustine, who went through a soul-searching time in his life, searching and discovering the pleasures of life would not satisfy him. In fact, he put it in a book called The Confessions. Now, this feeling of emptiness and meaninglessness, by the way, Augustine did find Jesus. This feeling of emptiness and meaninglessness might seem to be a very negative thing. No doubt it's a difficult moment when a person has these feelings. But these feelings of emptiness and meaninglessness have a purpose. They're meant to lead us to understand that our fulfillment as human beings, as human persons, cannot be found in the material world that surrounds us, or even in the pleasures of life that make up our life, nor even in creatures. Our culture teaches us that the material world and pleasures of life will provide us with all the happiness we want, but you and I know that is simply a lie. In fact, the opposite is true. If a person seeks the fulfillment in the material world or simply in pleasures of life, or even if he or she attempts to find his or her answers about life in another creature, he or she will soon discover the material world, human pleasures, and even creatures alone cannot satisfy the human heart. These aspects of life, when pursued in themselves, lead one feeling empty and dissatisfied. No creature, no thing, no pleasure can fulfill the desire that God has placed in our hearts. Only God can fulfill our deepest desires and fill that black hole in the center of our hearts. Meaninglessness exists only in the heart that has not yet found or experienced God. For every person was created for God. When Jesus came into the world, he came as Son of God, revealing to the world the meaning of human existence. Pope John was always talking about this in his writings. Jesus came as the Son of Man, one like us, who reveals God's plan for man. Faith is man's response to God, who reveals himself and gives himself to man, and at the same time bringing man a superabundant light as he searches for the ultimate meaning of his life. Our catechism teaches us in Article 27 that the desire for God is written in the human heart because, quote, man is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw him to himself, unquote. God does everything and does things every day that are meant to lead people back to him who have departed from his ways. We cannot doubt this. God does things every day that reveal his love to those who follow him. Only in God will man find the truth and happiness he never stops searching for. And so we know that mere pleasure or material goods or creatures cannot satisfy us. Only God satisfies us and brings us joy. Now, but at the same time, we know by faith, and this is clear in the gospel, that there are demons or evil spirits in the world that strive to enslave men, to keep him from finding his destiny with God. These evil spirits, these demons, want every human person to share in their misery forever. That is their philosophy, their ideology. In the gospel today, demons are mentioned three times. It says, and I quote, "They brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. And again, he cured many who were sick with serious diseases, and he drove out many demons. And a third time, he went into their synagogues preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee." Brothers and sisters, evil spirits are real. And they are our adversaries and our enemies. We hate the evil they do. But Jesus came not only to reveal to us that he's the source of meaning in life, but he holds the key to happiness, but also to cast out devils who beleaguer the human race even today. This part of the gospel message is critical. Jesus is the only person who can command the evil spirits to leave a person, and him they must obey. It has been reported that demonic possessions and obsessions by the devil in our world are on the rise. As our culture abandons God and his laws, humanity is left subject more and more to the evil one. According to one report, there are more than 125 exorcists in the United States today. Those in the church who carry out this ministry of Jesus often speak of deliverance from obsessions, oppressions, infestations, and possessions by the demonic, which afflict many in our world today. All four of these kinds of presences came about because of some obsessively gravely sinful activity. That's kind of how it works. But the good news is that Jesus has come to liberate us from such deleterious activity. Think about it. Our psalm says, "Praise the Lord, for he is good." Yes, Jesus is good. He has come to free us from evil. You know, when you talk to people that have been delivered from, let's say, negative demonic things, how happy they are. It's like Father John Ricardo said, rescued and liberated. It is important for all of us to remember that going to Mass every Sunday, like we're here today, going to confession whenever necessary, keeping the Ten Commandments, practicing charity, forgiving one another, practicing virtue, receiving Jesus and Holy Communion, are all important for keeping our souls protected from the evil one. He can't hurt us. You stay in Jesus' grace and Satan can't hurt you. Now, Satan can get access to a soul, we believe, if you talk to exorcists, only if the soul agrees to embrace some gravely sinful activity. That's how he gets in. But we have hope because Jesus still acts through his church to liberate people from the power of the evil one. Jesus came to forgive the grievous sins of people and their need to experience forgiveness. You know, we're all sinners. We're all in this journey. There's no one of us here in this church that cannot say, "I'm not a sinner." No, we're all sinners. But we're on this growth path. Those who have participated, for example, in an abortion, those who have embraced a same-sex lifestyle, or sexual activity contrary to the sixth commandment. Those who have become addicted to pornography or drugs. Those who followed or embraced disordered desires about their sexual identity. Those who have abused others. And many more need the grace of conversion, forgiveness, and healing. I think we would all agree with that. This is what the gospel message is all about. It's about healing, being liberated from darkness and evil. The sacrament of confession brings about tremendous healing when it is received with proper dispositions. You know, I said one time at a Sunday Mass here at St. Joseph that our sacraments are not magic. You have to have the proper dispositions. You know, just going to communion on Sunday is not going to increase your holiness unless you receive Jesus with love, desire to serve Him and follow Him and be His disciple. Now, as spiritual healer, Jesus came to cast out demons who were beleaguering people. In His day, demons still beleaguer people today, and so today Jesus still liberates. Jesus came to reveal to us that peace, love, and joy are the destiny that God intended for all men and women. When Jesus reigns in a soul, grace and peace reign. Do we not say at Mass, right before Holy Communion, Jesus says, "My peace, my joy I give to you. Let us share with each other the peace of Christ." Yeah, that's God-centered. That comes from God. When Jesus reigns in his soul, there's that peace and joy. St. Paul experienced the goodness of Jesus. He underwent a conversion. And he received the call to preach Jesus and his truth to everyone. You see that joy Jesus brings is intimately connected with the Holy Spirit of love. St. Paul knew this gentle, loving spirit of Jesus, but he was not afraid to condemn sins that enslaved people. See, Paul was a courageous preacher. He loved people, but he condemned sin. As a warning to people, say, turn away from those sins and follow Jesus. St. Paul felt a strong responsibility to preach the good news to everyone. In fact, all followers of Jesus have the duty and responsibility to preach Jesus and his love to people, primarily by the way we live and act. We're called to be missionaries of God's love and his forgiveness. So today, as we celebrate Mass, we had a lot to think about today. These readings are just filled with meaning. Let us pray that you and I will do our part to lead people to Jesus. And when we find spirits of evil active in our world, as they are, let us turn to Jesus in prayer that he may liberate all souls who find themselves shackled in some way or other by the evil one. Remember what Our Lady at Fatima told the three children. Many souls are being lost because no one prays for them. Whoa! You mean praying for people is going to bring them liberation? Yeah. Well, I can't see it. Well, you're not going to see it. God has reserved that to himself. In eternity, you will discover how many people your prayers have probably saved. Yeah, that's how it works. We have faith. So my prayer is, as we celebrate Mass today, may the Spirit of Jesus protect us and guide us every day. Begin your day with prayer. Not the end of the day, the beginning of the day. And if you do that, your whole day will be filled with grace. Beginning of the day, your new day God gives you, start with prayer. Even if it's a little bit of a prayer, start the day with prayer. May the meaning and joy that Jesus brings to all of us be shared with us, with everyone we meet. And may the reign of Jesus increase in our midst. May we grow in the holiness and grace of our Savior Jesus and share that love with others. Amen.